TED Audio Collective.
A quick new idea daily from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts. When you think of Rosa Parks, do you think of a tired old woman at the end of a workday, or the tireless, fervent activist she actually was? Today's speaker, David Eichardt, is a historian who's concerned that watering down the history of race and the civil rights movement in the U.S. harms us all. Today, he emphasizes the power and importance of historical accuracy by recounting the real story of activists like Rosa Parks.
I am the proud father of two beautiful children, Elijah, 15, and Octavia, 12. When Elijah was in the fourth grade, he came to me, came home from school, bubbling over with excitement about what he had learned that day about African-American history. Now, I'm an African-American cultural studies professor, and so as you can imagine, African-American culture is kind of serious around my home, so I was very proud that my son was excited about what he had learned that day in school. So I said, well, what'd you learn? He said, I learned about Rosa Parks. I said, okay, what did you learn about Rosa Parks? He said, I learned that Rosa Parks was this frail old black woman in the 1950s in Montgomery, Alabama, and she sat down on this bus and she had tired feet. And when the bus driver told her to give up her seat to a white patron, she refused because she had tired feet and it had been a long day and she was tired of oppression. And she didn't give up her seat. And she marched with Martin Luther King and she believed in nonviolence. And I guess he must have looked at my face and saw that I was a little less than impressed by his history lesson. And so he stopped and he's like, Dad, what's wrong? What did I get wrong? I said, son, you didn't get anything wrong, but I think your teacher got a whole lot of things wrong. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, Rosa Parks was not tired. She was not old. And she certainly didn't have tired feet. He said, what? I said, yes. Rosa Parks was only 42 years old. Yeah, you're shocked, right? Never heard that. Rosa Parks was only 42 years old. She had only worked 6 hours that day, and she was a seamstress, and her feet were just fine. The only thing that she was tired of was she was tired of inequality. She was tired of oppression. And my son said, well, why would my teacher, you know, tell me this thing? You know, this is confusing for me, because he loved this teacher, and she was a good teacher, a youngish, you know, 20-something white woman, really, really smart, pushed him, so I liked her as well. But he was confused. Why would she tell me this, he said. He said, Dad, tell me more about Rosa Parks. And I said, son, I'll do you one better. He was like, what? I said, I'm going to buy her autobiography, and I'm going to let you read it yourself. So as you can imagine, Elijah wasn't too excited about this new lengthy homework assignment that his dad had just given him, but he took it in stride. And he came back after he had read it, and he was excited about what he had learned. He said, Dad, he said, not only was Rosa Parks not initially into nonviolence, she said, but Rosa Parks' grandfather, who basically raised her and was light enough to pass as white, used to walk around town with his gun in his holster, and people knew that if you messed with Mr. Parks' children or grandchildren, he would put a cap in your proverbial bottom, right? He was not someone to mess with. And he said, I also learned that Rosa Parks married a man in Raymond who was a lot like her grandfather.
right?
He would organize. He was a civil rights activist. He would organize events, and sometimes the events would be at Rosa Parks' home. And one time, Rosa Parks remarked that there were so many guns on the table because they were prepared for somebody to come busting into the door, that they were prepared for whatever was going to go down. The Rosa Parks said there were so many guns on the table that I forgot to even offer them coffee or food. Right? This is who Rosa Parks was. And in fact, Rosa Parks, when she was sitting on that bus that day, waiting for those police officers to arrive and not knowing what was going to happen to her, she was not thinking about Martin Luther King, who she barely knew. She was not thinking about nonviolence or Gandhi. She was thinking about her grandfather, her gun-toting, take-no-mess grandfather. That's who Rosa Parks was thinking about. And my son was mesmerized by Rosa Parks. And I was proud of him to see this excitement. But then I still had a problem because I still had to go to a school and address the issue with his teacher, because I didn't want her to continue to teach the kids, obviously, false history. So I'm agonizing over this, primarily because I understand as an African-American man that whenever you talk to whites about racism or anything that's racially sensitive, there's usually going to be a challenge. This is what white sociologist Robin DiAngelo calls white fragility. She argues that, in fact, because whites have so little experience being challenged about their white privilege, that whenever even the most minute challenge is brought before them, they usually cry, get angry, or run. And I have experienced them all. And so when I was contemplating confronting his teacher, I wasn't happy about it, but I was like, this is a necessary evil of being a black parent trying to raise self-actualized black children. So I called Elijah to me and I said, Elijah, I'm going to tell your teacher, you know, I'm going to set up an appointment with your teacher and try and correct this and maybe your principal. What do you think? And Elijah said, Dad, I have a better idea. And I said, really, what's your idea? He said, we have a public speaking assignment. And why don't I use that public speaking assignment to talk about debunking the myths of Rosa Parks? And I was like, well, that is a good idea. So Elijah goes to school. He does his presentation. He comes back home and I can see something positive happen. I said, well, what happened, son? He said, well, later on in that day, the teacher pulled me aside and she apologized to me for giving that misinformation. And then something else miraculous happened the next day. She actually taught a new lesson on Rosa Parks, filling in the gaps that she had left and correcting the mistakes that she made. And I was so, so proud of my son. But then I thought about it. And I got angry. And I got real angry. Why? Why would I get angry? Because my 9-year-old son had to educate his teacher about his history, had to educate his teacher about his own humanity. He's 9 years old. He should be thinking about basketball or soccer or, right, the latest movie. He should not be thinking about having to take the responsibility of educating his teacher, his students, right, about himself, about his history. That was the burden that I carried. That was a burden that my parents carried and generations before them carried. And now I was seeing my son take on that burden too. You see, that's why Rosa Parks wrote her autobiography. Because during her lifetime, if you can imagine, you do this amazing thing. You're alive and you're talking about this, your civil rights activism, and a story emerges in which somebody is telling the world that you were old and you had tired feet and you just were an accidental activist. Not that you had been an activist by then for 20 years. Not that the boycott had been planned for months. Not that you were not even the first or the second or even the third woman to be arrested for doing that. Right? You become an accidental activist. even in her own lifetime. So she wrote that autobiography to correct the record, because what she wanted to remind people of was that this is what it was like in the 1950s, trying to be Black in America and fight for your rights. During the year, a little over a year that the boycott lasted, there were over 4 church bombings. Martin Luther King's house was bombed twice. Other civil rights leaders' houses were bombed in Birmingham. Rosa Parks' husband slept at night with a shotgun because they would get constant death threats. In fact, Rosa Parks' mother lived with them, and sometimes she would stay on the phone for hours so that nobody would call in with death threats, because it was constant and persistent. In fact, there was so much tension, there was so much pressure, there was so much terrorism, that Rosa Parks and her husband, they lost their jobs and they became unemployable and eventually had to leave and move out of the South. This is a civil rights reality that Rosa Parks wanted to make sure that people understood. So you say, well, David, what does that have to do with me? I'm a well-meaning person. I didn't own slaves. You know, I'm not trying to whitewash history. I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. So you say, what do you want me to do, David? I don't know what to do. Well, what I would say to you is, there was a time in which if you were Jewish, you were not white. If you were Italian, you were not white. If you were Irish, you were not white in this country. It took a while before the Irish, the Jews, and the Italians became white, right? There was a time in which you were othered, when you were the people on the outside. Toni Morrison said, if in order for you to be tall, I have to be on my knees, you have a serious problem. She says, white America has a serious, serious problem. To be honest, I don't know if race relations will improve in America. But I know that if they will improve, we have to take these challenges on head on. The future of my children depend on it. The future of my children's children depends on it. And whether you know it or not, the future of your children and your children's children depends on it too.
David Eichard is a professor of African American and Diaspora Studies at Vanderbilt University. The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded at a TEDx event in Nashville, Tennessee. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. All week, TEDx Shorts will be highlighting powerful ideas about justice, representation, and activism from events across the U.S. Special thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Nashville. Want to listen to the full talk? Find David's talk and more at TED.com/TEDxShorts. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening, and see you tomorrow.